excited to share. It's been a little while, and we're just gonna go for it this morning, and just believe that the Lord, what He has to say, He's gonna say. I'm excited. My title this morning is A Beautiful Collision. It's kind of a weird title, because last time I checked, collisions aren't beautiful. But we're going to talk about a beautiful collision this morning. I come really this morning, and Pastor Dave, as he prayed and transitioned us, really said a lot of my heart is I think we all stand this morning, and I stand this morning full of faith in a God that can do the impossible. I look at our nation, I look at the nations of the world, and it tells me otherwise, but I know that the God that we serve is faithful, and He is brewing something up behind the scenes, and He's getting ready, and He's stirring the hearts of the people, and He is going to arrive and explode, and it is going to change things. And so I stand today, and everything that I want to say with that is my heart, with that is my framework, that I know that with God all things are possible. And I also look and I say, we are a nation, we are a people, we are a world that needs God to come on the scene in a big and real way. And we need the church and the people who say, I follow Jesus, to arise and do what God's called them to do. And so I stand in humility today, and I stand in prayer today for our nation and for the nations of the world, for France, for Turkey, for Ecuador, for Africa, for Uganda, for South Sudan. I could probably go on and on, but I just know that there's stirrings and there's grumblings, and we're waiting for the revelation of Jesus to become real to all mankind. Amen? I was reading out of Luke this week, and you know, one of the most famous parables is in Luke 6, and it talks about two different men. One man builds a house on sand, and the storm comes, and we know what happens. It goes away. And then it talks about another man who built his house on the rock. And then it says that the same storm, or maybe not the same storm, but a storm came and his house stayed. We've all heard the story. If not, you just got the Cliff Note version. But I was thinking about this parable. And I was reading, especially in Las Vegas when we were there, I didn't do my full-on Jesus time in the morning. I did the modified Cliff Note version in the morning because I was just really tired. And so I did my proverb every day, and I was reading Proverbs, and the theme of Proverbs is wisdom. And I was thinking about Luke chapter 6 in wisdom, and I had this revelation that wisdom is good, but wisdom cannot prevent storms from coming into your life. Because storms are just going to blow, and you could be wise, but the storm's still going to come. So we as people, we cannot prevent storms in our life from happening. But what we can do is we can prepare for those storms when they come. Because the Bible even says that winds are going to blow, storms are going to come. And so we need to prepare ourselves for those storms. Again, we can't prevent, but we can prepare. And one of the ways that we can prepare for the storms that are going to come in our life is have things that are foundational truths that will keep us standing when the storm is going to blow, right? We apply that wisdom, and those wisdoms become stones that will keep our lives steady when the storm is blowing. You know, it's not good enough for me to build my life on good things. Right? There's a lot of good things. I have some good people in my life. I have some good principles of work ethic and different things, but it's not good enough to build our lives on good things. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the cornerstone. And so if anything in my life that is not built on Jesus, then it's probably or definitely not going to stand the test of time when the storms come. And so I encourage us as we jump into the Word this morning that we, as we prepare for the storms, that we continue to build on the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. And through Him, all things are held together. We may bend, we may little crack, but we will not break because He is faithful. So our text this morning is actually in Luke chapter 7. That was just kind of a pretext for you. Chapter 7, 11 through 18. I hope you all brought your Bibles. I really hope you guys brought your Bibles. But if you didn't, I'm just going to be reading the Word so you can trust me. If not, ask your neighbor who has a Bible and you'll see what I'm reading. But I want to read just a great story of Jesus, and I want to make some application to it in our lives this morning. But it says this. It says, starting in 11, it says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he was approaching the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. 'Don't cry,' he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. And the pallbearer stopped. 'Young man,' he said, 'I tell you, get up.' Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother." Verse 16, "Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, 'A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today.' And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the countryside." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, today, would your words become alive to us? Would your truth continue to go deep into our hearts? Father, would we be changed in your presence today? Father, would we truly understand your heart? Amen. Amen. You know, as a parent, we're always telling, at least my wife and I have, when our kids want something, they're taught to communicate what they want. And a lot of times when they communicate what they want, sometimes they're crying, and you can't, like, hear what they're saying. Parents, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, what are you saying? Stop crying. Breathe a minute. And then tell us what you want. And I think it's this, it's a principle in the kingdom of God is we teach that if you want something, to speak out in faith. Right? Things get done in the kingdom when we speak out. When we cry out to the Lord, I believe things happen. But the good news for us this morning is that's not the only way that things happen in the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says that, as far as I can tell, and some of you are more biblical scholars than I am, but the only new thing about God that I can read in my Bible is that His mercies are new every morning. And so that means when I'm tongue-tied, that means when I don't have the words to say what I need to communicate, when I feel like I don't even have the faith to communicate, the good news is God's mercies are new every morning. And in spite of my lack of vocalizing what I want, God's mercy is going to shine down and cover me in my life. That is the good news for us, that even if I don't have the words to say, His mercy is still going to meet me. It's still going to pour out on me because that's what He does. That's who He is. So this is, if you read chapter 7 of Luke, there's like, I don't know, five different stories. I think this is the second one. So we've got Jesus and His disciples, and they are coming to the city called Nain. And we've got to understand that they're coming from what I call a high school camp experience. I mean that when I was a young man and I went to camp in the summer, I was like on a God high moment. Okay, they were coming from the centurion's son had just gotten healed. Jesus had just performed a miracle. And so they were like high-fiving each other, so expectant of what God and what Jesus was doing. Can you imagine? They're walking to the city, and they're saying, "Can you believe that? He just healed the centurion's son." And so their faith is probably stirred. I'm making some assumptions here. But I can only imagine they probably aren't discouraged right now. They're probably going, this is real, and this is awesome, and there's power. And so they come to this city, and I can only imagine the experience that they're feeling. And the Bible says that they're approaching a city called Nain, but it also says that at the very same time that the high-fiving guys who were excited about Jesus and were experiencing miracles, at the same time they were coming to the city gate, it said that there was another crowd. And this crowd was not celebrating. It says that this crowd was mourning. It says that this crowd was walking to the cemetery because a young man had just recently died. And so can you imagine with me, it's like you've got a mourning person at 5 a.m. with someone that doesn't like to get up before noon coming together. It's like, stop talking to me. You're overwhelming. We've got two different groups of people with two completely different things going on in their life right now, and they're meeting together at the city gates. Okay, imagine this with me. The town is called Nain, N-A-I-N, and it means this. It means pasture. Okay, pasture is a place of feeding. They meet at a place of feeding, a place of growing, right? Because when you get fed, you grow. So they're meeting at this place of feeding and a place of growing. And one of them, one of the groups is very excited. The other group is not very excited. The other meaning here, besides pasture, I love the two words that are associated with the name Nain. But it means this, pasture and affliction and beauty. Two different groups of people meeting in a place to be fed. That means affliction and beauty. Beautiful affliction, beautiful collision. And they're about to have a collision. They're going to meet face to face. We've got the one group that, and even this morning, I realize that many of you are on a high right now with God. I look around and I think we've got two brand new babies here this morning. Mike and Sarah just adopted a little boy from Texas. Amen. It's awesome. I saw another one, Ashley Onifer is here, and she's got this little baby. Many of you, we've got some newlyweds in the house. We've got some of you who God's doing great things. But I also realized this morning that there's the other side of the coin, that some of you might maybe just lost your job. Some of you are in a season that you've lost loved ones. That you just went to the doctor and you found out you got some things going on, and it's life-changing. Some of you have struggles that you've knocked your head against for years, and you're afflicted. I get that in this room we have all different types, but we all are coming together for a beautiful collision with Jesus. And he's brewing and he's doing something. So we've got this awesome story going on. You know, the Bible says that we're God's workmanship, created in his image. We're beautiful. You have a purpose and a destiny. And we've heard that before. But we also have that internal struggle that says, how could I have a destiny when I struggle with this? How could I do this Jesus thing when I can't even lead my own family? This affliction. And I believe that this is a picture of life that we're experiencing here. I don't know about you, but in testifying about the miracles that Jesus did, I can't ever remember a time where I said, and Jesus showed up early. Anyone? No. I don't ever hear, and he just, you know what, that God, he was too early. Wish he would have been a little later. No. God, Jesus, is never early, but he's always on time. In our story, had Jesus come 15 minutes later, or 15 minutes earlier, and guess what? The story doesn't happen. He misses the procession, they miss him, and it doesn't happen. In our lives this morning and in your life today, I want to encourage you that Jesus may not be early, but he's never late. And the situation and whatever's going on in your heart, the Lord knows when he needs to show up. He's never early. He's rarely early, but he's never late. And he's fixing a collision with you and him that's about to take place. You know, unfortunately, we live in a world that we say, my time is the right time, and the time is 30 seconds ago. Now. And we live in a world that says, the time is now, and this is the right time. Unfortunately, that's not how God always works, is it? You know, I could tell you a story this morning of flying Spirit Airlines, which I didn't even know that was an airlines until I flew on it. Say no more. It's like, you need to use the bathroom? Oh, well, you can pay extra for that, right? Ugh. But I can tell you about seeing people when we're running late get so fed up and like cops get called. I mean, it was pathetic to see mankind get so frustrated. And I wasn't happy. I want to get home to my family too. But just because I think we see these things and we get disappointed when the world's timing doesn't work out for us and we're late for a flight and this or that, but we're not supposed to take that into our relationship with God. We're not supposed to be, just because the world may be late and you're disappointed, God doesn't operate that way. And we need to be confident in the God that we serve, that his timing is right, even when you're delayed. And I just want to say that this morning, that if you feel like God is delayed, God hasn't forgotten. God's timing is right. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forgotten you. You may feel like he's delayed, but he's not even panicking. He's not even panicking. You know, we've always heard the saying that said, the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. And I think that's true, but I think the right thing at the wrong time is dangerous. Because when I pray for something or when I eat something physically that's not ready to be eaten, we got issues, folks. And you'll have issues later, you know what I'm saying, right? We've got issues. Your stomach's going to hurt, all that stuff, right? But when we try to take things into our own hands before God's timing is right, the results can be catastrophic. Not just, oh, I got a stomachache. The results can be catastrophic. So Jesus, he's meeting these people. They're about to have a collision. And it gives us a little picture about this lady, the mother who just lost her son. Heartache. But it also says that this wasn't the first time that she's lost a loved one. It says she was a widow. So she lost her husband. She lost her son. Her plan for provision in that culture was 100% dependent on her husband. But the backup plan was, but you have a son. Because your son, when he gets older and older, he will care for you. Her plan is gone. Her backup plan is gone. And she is mourning. And she's walking. Proverbs 16:9 says that we make our plans, but it's the Lord that directs our steps. So when our plans fail, that's when God shows up in your life. You know, we can't put our trust in human-made things. We can't put our trust in one another because only God was meant to carry that place right? Yeah, I can trust you, but I can't put my plans, I can't base my life off of something that is not secure and is not stable. It has to be based on Jesus, because people will fail. People will forget. Plans and life won't happen how it's planned out to happen. And I hate when plans change. But our dependence has to be on Jesus. So this lady isn't looking for hope. She's walking, her head's down. She's going to bury her son. She's not looking for Jesus. She's not praying the prayers of healing. She's not singing the songs of rejoicing. She is mourning. But our God is good. Because even when you're not looking for him, his mercies are going to find you. And even when you're not praying the prayers and walking in faith, God, it says in the scripture that Jesus saw the lady. Can I just tell you this morning that Jesus sees you? You may not be looking for him, but he sees you. He sees you. In some scriptures, it says that he had compassion on her. And he said this. He said, "Don't cry." But he did it in compassion. Not like, you know what, quit crying, lady. It's not that big of a deal. No, with compassion, he said, "Don't cry." Because it shows that he cares for her and he cares for our needs. He says, "Don't cry." You know, there's a big difference between sympathy and compassion. Sympathy is like, I'm sorry. But the definition of compassion is, hey, I'm really sorry, but then it's followed with a strong desire to do something about that sorrow. So it's the action part of sympathy, not just like, oh, bummer, sorry about that. No, it says, bummer, sorry about that, but now let me act. Let me do something to remove or to heal your suffering. I tell you, isn't that a picture of the goodness of God? That she wasn't looking for him, but he found her. And he knew exactly what she needed. And this God who is good and full of grace, he says he came to her. The Lord wants to come to you today. Even in your weakness, even in your hardest state, even when you're questioning God, he sees you. In his compassion, he comes. Jesus says, hey, lady, don't cry. And then it says he touches the stretcher and they stopped. Why did they stop? You know, probably a lot of reasons. Like, is he really touching the stretcher? Probably because Jesus was a rabbi, and rabbis didn't touch dead things. I don't know. They don't touch dead things. But I think Jesus came to establish something that says his kingdom is a kingdom of about taking broken and dead things and speaking life into them. Yeah, rabbis don't touch dead things, but Jesus came to establish something different. He says, I'm establishing a kingdom that speaks life into lifeless situations. That's the God that we serve this morning, that he came to touch the broken and the lifeless areas of your life. It's not a gospel about, you know, bad people that are good now. It's a story, and it's a gospel about dead things that are now alive. Get up. Don't cry, lady. Get up to the boy. Right? Didn't pray this long prayer. Like, dude, get up. Get up. And it says that the boy came out and he started to praise God. He had a collision with the life giver and it changed him forever. They had an encounter with Jesus and they were never the same. And Jesus says, and I'm going to give you a foundation to build on. I'm going to have the worship team come up. I really felt like to respond. I know we got some time things going on. But I'm going to talk. I'm going to have you guys just play. I'm going to keep talking a little bit, but I want to get you up here. But the people that we're talking about this morning, out of their encounter in Nain, their encounter, their beautiful, afflicted collision in the pasture of growth, out of their encounter at Nain, everything changed for them. They were completely moved from Nain to a whole different place, not physically, right? They were still at Nain, at the pasture of beautiful affliction, but everything in their life had changed because they had that encounter with him. And that's what the Lord is saying today, that they are no longer afflicted. They've moved from their affliction to a place of praise. And the Lord is saying today to us, to this church family, that there's been affliction, but he wants to bring us to that place of praise. To that place where maybe we're still physically in the same place, but where we encounter him. Where he says, I've come to bring you life. I've come to speak to those situations. Mourn. In your affliction, I want to teach you what it is to praise. You know, the message says it this way. I love the message sometimes, and I love how it just is so real. But it says this at the end, and we already read it, but it says that they all realized that they were in a place of holy mystery. That God was at work among them. It says they were quietly worshipful. Okay, I imagine, I see it. And then noisily grateful. Calling out among themselves, God is back. Looking to the needs of his people. God is back. He's looking to your needs. The news of Jesus spread throughout the country. They started in Nain, beautifully afflicted, but their hearts were changed and they ended in holy mystery. They ended at that place. God's at work. God's at work. Some of you are there right now. I don't get it yet, but God's at work. I don't understand it, but he's working. But it says they didn't stay there long, because when you know God is at work, you only could be holy mystery or quietly worshipful for so long. God's at work. But then it says they went into noisy praise. They went into saying, our God is good. Our God is faithful. Our God has good things in store. This young man was dead and he's alive. He's gonna die again, but I bet you his whole world was rocked because he experienced Jesus. Everything was different. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing this song. But I felt, and I feel like the Lord is saying to us that he wants to move us past affliction. Whether it's in your own life, corporately, but he wants to collide with you wherever you're at. And he wants to encounter you. And some of you that may be in that quiet worship or holy mystery, the Lord says, don't stay there forever. Because I want you to tell others. I want you to testify about what God's done. Because as it said, God is back.
Can you testify with that in your spirit today? He's alive. He's well. He's doing something in the midst of life, in the midst of pain, in the midst of beautiful affliction. He's back. And he's looking to the needs of his people. I don't get it yet, God. But you're back. You're on the scene. He took the ugly and he's making it beautiful. And he wants to save. And he wants to rescue. And he wants to breathe life. And he wants to breathe hope. Come on, can we sing to the Lord? Can you open your heart to what he wants to do in you this morning? Would you allow him to say, I want to collide with you in the midst of your pain? Because he wants to say, I'm back. Though he never left, he says, I'm back. I'm here. I want to do things. Let's sing together this morning.
You have poured out of grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are, faithful forever you will be, faithful you are, all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Sing beautiful. Beautiful Savior, you have brought me here. You pulled me from the ashes. You have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are.
Father, this morning we look to you. Father, we look to you in your faithfulness. Father, that you're saying that you want to speak life. That you're saying that you will never be the same after you have a collision with me. Father, even in the midst of a beautiful affliction, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of pain, in the midst of mourning, Father, we can sit in a quiet mystery and say, you're at work. Father, and we may quietly worship and say, you're doing it. But Father, we can shout out, Father, and say that you are faithful. We can shout out and say that you are good and that you are doing something new. Father, and that fire inside of us, Father, let it not stay quiet. Because you are taking broken things and you're healing them. You are taking dead marriages and you are breathing life into them. You are taking impossible situations and you're making them possible because that's who you are. Father, even in the midst of a nation and the nations of the world that are in affliction, Father, we can see that your kingdom is advancing. And that your kingdom is truth. And that your kingdom can set us free. And that your kingdom is hope to the nations of the world. This morning as we start to transition, if anyone wants prayer this morning, I just want you to, after the service, they're just going to play for a minute afterwards. But if you want prayer this morning, I just want to invite you to come. We have some of our generational leadership students, if they want to come pray, or any of our pastors or leadership. If anyone wants prayer this morning, whether you're, wherever state you're in, God wants to meet us. Amen? Amen. So I invite you can come. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have a great time swimming and doing hot dogs and stuff. But God bless you. Stay expectant for what God's doing in this place in our midst. Amen? All right. If you need prayer, you can come. Otherwise, we'll see you outside. Thank you.